Right, well, we're there in 1 Chronicles 29, and this morning, like I said, we're preaching and kind of preparing our church family for this vision offering coming up. And like I said, again, for you first-time guests, you know, you just showed up on the wrong day. If it, you know, I don't want you to leave here thinking, ah, churches are all about money. Actually, I'm going to spend a good portion of my sermon trying to talk some of you into giving anything, you know. But the thing is, we don't talk a lot about money, but the Bible talks about money, so we don't apologize for it when we do. It's something that it's rare around here. It's scheduled. I can tell you the next time we're going to preach on money, for some of you, you may not want to be here the last week of September, okay? Because we'll be talking about money again, all right? So just giving you that heads up if you can remember that. But it's something that we schedule, and especially with this offering, there's a reason why we have it close to tax season when you get your tax returns, all right? I'm not as dumb as I look, all right? And we know how to plan things out well. If you look at verse 1 there, 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 1, the Bible says this: "Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender." Now, some of you may be asking, as we talk about this vision offering and we talk about the fact, and you say, well, I understand raising money for chairs and I understand raising money for a missionary, but why do we want to start raising money and putting money away for the future, for future property or building, a down payment that maybe our church can make to buy some property? And it'll be nice one day when our church has its own property with, it'll be nice to have a playground for the kids, you know, and somewhere to run around, and just maybe a separate fellowship hall and things like that. And you may ask, well, why would you want us to give? And why would you want us to sacrifice and to prepare to be able to give for future facilities? And it's the same reason, as we read this chapter, you'll notice that David wanted to build the temple for God. And David was not allowed by God to build the temple. David was told that his son Solomon would build a temple. But David decided that he was going to take a special offering. And that's why we don't apologize to preach these things. Sometimes people, they talk to me like an offering is ungodly. Like, I can't believe you're taking an offering. You know, the Bible talks so much about offerings. I mean, Moses took an offering. David took an offering. Solomon took an offering. In the New Testament, there's so many offerings. But, you know, you say, well, why would you do it? And it's the same reason that we would prepare for the future at Verity Baptist Church, that David decided that it would be wise for them to prepare for the future for what Solomon was going to do. Look at verse 1 again. "Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen," notice, "is yet young and tender." Now, Solomon was the one who was going to build the temple. Solomon was the one that God was going to use to actually do the work. But David said, hey, Solomon is young and is tender. Here's what he's saying. He's saying Solomon is not ready to take the steps that he needs to take to be able to do the work that God has called him to do. But what we can do is begin to prepare so that when he's ready, he'll have the materials available to do what God has called him to do. And you know, you could say about Verity Baptist Church that Verity Baptist Church is still young and tender. You know, our church is 4 years old. We started 4 years ago in our living room there in our house, and some of you were there, and some of you, you know, have heard about that and all those things. And we've gone through different buildings and outgrown them. In the last 4 years, we've gone through several buildings and outgrown them. And God has been blessing. And God has been using us. And God has allowed us to reach people in this community. And this is just the beginning. But here's the thing. Our church at this point is not ready to take on a building project. Not ready to purchase property. We're not in the position to be able to do those things. Verity Baptist Church, I would say, is yet young and tender. Most churches that are started do not even pass the first 5 years of existence. We've not even passed that threshold yet, and Lord willing, this church will. But the reason that we want to begin to prepare is because I believe that this church one day will do something great for God. I mean, we're already doing something great for God, but we'll do even greater things for God. And God will use it in a great way to impact this community and impact this area for the glory of God. But right now, it is yet young and tender. And that is actually a good reason to begin to prepare for the future. Because when our church is stronger and our church is able to take on the responsibility and the load of future ministry, we want to be ready to be able to do that. Not only that, but in verse 1, it also says, notice, "Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender." Now notice this, "and the work is great." He said, look, my son's not only not ready, but even if he was ready, This is a great task. This is a large work. This is a lot that needs to be done. And the same could be said for Mary Baptist Church. I don't know if you know this, but buying buildings and purchasing property and building buildings in the state of California is a great work. And it takes money. And it takes preparation. And it takes time. So for those of you, and this is just introduction, we're going to get into the sermon here in a minute. But for those of you wondering, why would we give for something in the future? Why would we give for something, you know, because here's the thing. If we were buying a building next week, I mean, we could put a picture up here of a building. We could take you on a tour to the property. We could say, look at this place. One day this could be our church, and one day we can remodel this, and we can do this and that, and we could cast that vision, and people would get excited, and people would say, hey, I can do that, and I like that, and I like that building, and I think that would be nice, and people would give. But you know, it takes mature Christians to be able to say, I'm going to give even though it's still 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road. You understand that? It takes a mature Christian to say, I know it's not exciting right now. See, David would say to the people, we're not building anything. We're not breaking ground. We're not bringing in anything. We're not doing anything yet. We're just preparing so that in the future we could. And what David was saying is, we need individuals to help us and partner with us and come alongside us and help us. Here's why. Because we're young and tender and the work is great. And if we're going to do it, we got to be prepared. Look at verse 3, 1 Chronicles 29:3. Let me explain to you also, just by way of introduction, what giving or an offering is. Because I don't know that many people understand these biblical terms. If you look at verse 3, the Bible says, moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God. I want you to make note of this phrase, over and above all that I prepared for the holy house. Do you see that? Did you notice this phrase, over and above? Here's what you gotta understand, an offering. See, David had already prepared his tithes and the things that needed to be given to the house of God, but he's saying, right now I'm going to give over and above those things that are already set aside for the house of God. Keep your finger there in 1 Chronicles 23. That's the text for this morning. Go over to Malachi chapter number 3. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. Should be fairly easy to find. Malachi chapter 3. And I want you to understand something. An offering, because we need to teach these things, so sometimes people don't understand these things. An offering is different than a tithe. Many of you have heard of the tithe before. And an offering is given above and over that tithe. Do you understand that? See, in Malachi chapter 3, and I'm not preaching on tithing this morning, but I want to just give you a few verses to give you the context. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8, the Bible says this, will a man rob God? And yet ye have robbed me. This is God speaking. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? Now notice what God says. You've robbed me in tithes and offerings. Do you see that? You've robbed me in tithes and offerings. Here's what I want you to notice from this text, from this verse. A tithe is different than an offering. He said, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. And here's the thing. God expects both. He says, I expected a tithe, and you didn't give me the tithe, so you've robbed me. And he says, I expected an offering, and you didn't give me that either, so you've robbed me. Now, here's what you got to understand, okay? If you are not tithing, you are not giving an offering. If you put money in the plate next week and say, I gave God an offering, but you do not tithe, and you rob from God the 10% that he asked of us to return back to him of the increase that he's given us, you're not giving. If you're not tithing, you're not giving. Do you understand what I'm saying? It would be like if I went to my mortgage, you know, I have a mortgage on our house, you know, we have, I don't know what our payment is, my wife would know, $1,200 or something is our payment. Now look, if I write a check to my mortgage company, and I say, hey, I'm going to give you $500 to put towards the, you know, to put towards the principal. I'm going to give you $500 extra to put towards my mortgage. But I didn't pay the bill yet, okay, are they going to say, oh yeah, you gave us an extra $500? Do you understand what I'm saying? See, you got to pay the bill before you can give above the bill. Do you understand that? And so many people say, I'm going to give God $20. You owe him $100 from your paycheck. I mean, you say, well, I'm going to give God. You didn't give God anything. Go to Matthew chapter 23. We got to do it. I know it's uncomfortable. Whatever. Matthew 23. Look at verse 23. You're there in Malachi, the next book over in the New Testament, the book of Matthew. Matthew 23. I want you to notice how Jesus put the phrasing, how he explained tithing. Matthew 23 and verse number 23. Matthew 23 and verse 23, the Bible says this. Matthew 23 and verse 23 says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Now notice what he says. For ye pay tithe. I want you to notice that phrase. Jesus did not say you give your tithe. He says you pay your tithe. Do you see that? See, I don't give my mortgage company any. I pay them money I owe them. The tithe is owed to God. Jesus said, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weighty matters of the law. Now notice, Jesus is rebuking the Pharisees here for being hypocrites, but he's not rebuking them for tithing. He's rebuking them for tithing and omitting the weightier matters of the law, which are judgment, mercy, faith. Do you understand that? He's saying, I'm glad you gave your tithe, but if you're going to give your tithe, why don't you also love people and judge righteously and have faith? He's rebuking them for being hypocrites because they think they're putting money in the offering plate and yet they're not living the way they ought to live. But I want you to notice, he's not rebuking their giving money. He's saying you should have paid your tithe and given judgment and mercy and faith. A lot of times people will attack this type of preaching. They'll say, well, tithing's just in the Old Testament. I think we just read a passage in the New Testament. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure Matthew's in the New Testament. And Jesus here had an opportunity to say, tithing's not for the New Testament. But here's what he said. He said, pay your tithe. And you got to understand this. The tithe is 10% of your increase. When you increase, when God blesses you financially, you are to return 10% to God as a payment, as basically saying to God, I acknowledge that everything I have came from you, and the only reason I have a job is because you blessed me, and here's 10%. That's what he has required of us. You pay your tithe. You don't give your tithe. In fact, you don't give until you've tithed. You first pay your tithe, and then anything you give above that, then that is an offering. That is something you have given to God. And here's what you got to understand, okay? Tithing shows your obedience. Offerings show your love. See, when I give 10%, I'm not showing God I love him. I'm just showing God I obey him. Okay, God, you want $10 for every 100 you give me? No problem. But when I give God above that, then I am showing God that I love him. So we got to understand this as we get into the sermon this morning. What is an offering? An offering is, I love how David said, over and above is an offering that you give to God. If you go back to 1 Chronicles 29, I want to teach you this morning two characteristics of giving from this passage. As we prepare for our visions offering next week, I want you to understand what characterizes an offering. Because we're getting ready and we're giving you an opportunity to bring an offering to God. Remember, Jesus said, ye have robbed me in tithes and offerings. So we want to give you an opportunity to not rob God in what he expects from you in offering. But we also want to make sure that you do it the right way. We want to make sure that you get credit for it. You understand that? Some of you, you went to school and you would turn in your homework, but you didn't get credit for it because you did it the wrong way or because you copied or because, you know, it just wasn't right. You know, it's like you doodled on the paper. That's not your homework, you know. And sometimes we do things for God and God acknowledges that we did it, but we don't get credit for it in heaven because we do it incorrectly. So I want to teach you two things about giving an offering so you make sure if you give that you get credit for it in heaven. 1 Chronicles 29, look at verse number 5. 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 5, the Bible says this, the gold for things of gold and the silver for things of silver and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers. And I want you to notice what David says. Who then is... Now, I know you guys are tired, okay, but I want you to read this next word out loud with me, okay? Just wake up for a little bit. Who then is, let's read this word together, willing, all right? Let's read it again, willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord. Look at verse 6. Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered, let's read that word together, willingly. Look at verse 9. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered, let's read it together, willingly, because with a perfect heart they offered, let's read it together, willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Skip down to verse 14. Verse 14 says, but who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so, let's read it together, willingly after this sort, for all things come of thee and of thine own have we given thee. Look at verse 17. I know also, my God, that thou triest the hearts and has pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have, let's read it together, willingly offered all these things. And now I have seen with joy thy people, which are present here to offer, let's read it one last time, willingly unto thee. Are you getting the point of what an offering is? You come to God willingly. Listen to me. You ought never go to church and feel like you're being guilted or manipulated into giving anything to God. In fact, if you study offerings throughout the Bible, from Genesis to the book of Revelation, it is always important that it is done from the right heart, willingly, that you bring it willingly to God, not manipulated, not guilted into it, not thinking, oh, I got to do this, but that you come and say that you want to give it to God. Now, here's the thing. You say, well, I don't know that I want to give an offering to God. How do I give? Why were these people so willing? Why was David so willing to give above and over of the things God already required of him, certain things, but he wants to give us of his own? What makes an individual willing to want to give? Now, here's what you got to understand. If you put things in perspective, you may be more willing to give to God. You say, what are you talking about? Look at verse 11, 1 Chronicles 29. Look at verse 11. Notice what David understood. 1 Chronicles 29, 11. He said, thine, O Lord, is greatness, and the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty. Now notice this, don't miss this. For all that is in heaven and in earth is thine. You got to underline that in your Bible. For all that is in heaven and in earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Look at verse 12. Both riches and honor, don't miss this, come of thee. You know what David understood? Here's what David understood. Everything I have came from God. Here's what David understood. Any riches, any honor, any power, and anything that I have in this life, everything that is in heaven and earth is thine, O Lord. Everything belongs to you anyway. And anything that I have, verse 12, both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. He says, it's in your hand, God, to make me great. It's in your hand, God, to make me strong. It's in your hand, God, to make me rich. Look at verse 13. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? Notice, don't miss this. For all things come of thee and of thine own. Don't miss this one. Of thine own have we given thee. Do you understand when you give to God, you're just giving back to God from what he gave to you? He said, of thine own have we given thee. You know, it's like your children when they come to you and they say, Daddy, we bought you this, and we went out and we bought you a gift. And it's like, yeah, but you used my money to buy the gift. Now, you don't smack them and say, go get a job. You know, you say, thank you. You're so generous. In the same way, God, you come to God next week and you say, God, I'm going to put these $10 in the offering because I love you. And God says, well, good. I gave you those $10. Because here's what David understood. Everything I have comes from God. All things come of thee. Of thine own have we given thee. He says, thine is the kingdom. He said, see, here's the problem. And here's the thing. Honestly, if you're not willing, if you say, I don't want to give, let me just say, and I'm probably the worst, you know, motivational, you know, trying to get people to give pastor, but let me tell you something. If you're not willing to give, we don't want your money. We do not want you to give. If you say, I don't want to give, don't give. And we're not mad at you. We still love you. We still pray for you. We want you to come, but we don't want your money. Because one of the requirements for giving to God is to give from a willing heart. Because, and you say, well, how do I get that willing heart? When you realize that everything you have came from God. That the house you live in, the car you drive, the clothes you're wearing right now, the only reason, the job you have, the money in your account, the only reason you have it is because God gave it to you. When someone realizes, all I have came from God anyway. So it's no big deal to give back to him, because all I'm doing is of thine own giving back to you, God. Keep your finger there in 1 Chronicles 29. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy, towards the beginning of the New Testament, you got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Look at verse 17. Deuteronomy verse 8, verse 17. Deuteronomy verse 8, 17. The Bible says this, Deuteronomy 8, 17, and thou say in thine heart, and this is what a lot of us, you never say this out loud, but we say this in our heart. And thou say in thine heart, my power and my might of my and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. Look at verse 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant with which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. You say, see, if you're not willing, if you say, I don't want to, I'm not willing to give to God, if that's your attitude, here's the problem. You don't understand that everything you have came from God anyway. And it's God that gives you the power to get wealth. And it's God that gives you that money that you have. And the reason you say, well, I just want to keep this money, because you think your strength and your might got you that, and you don't realize God allowed you to wake up this morning. God allowed you to get out of bed this morning. God allows you to go to work on Monday morning. God allows you the brain in your head that allows you to make the money that you have, or the strength of your back, or the strength of your arm that allows you to go and work. God is the one that gave that to you. You didn't get it of your own, but see, an individual who says, I realize that everything I have, every blessing that I have, comes from God. 100% of it belongs to God. Then I don't have an issue giving you 10%, and I'll give you some more, God, just to show you how much I love you. That, but the individual says, I don't want, every time I go to church, I talk about money. Well, number one, that's a lie at Verity Baptist Church, but even if it were true, your problem is that you think you provided for yourself. And you don't realize that God's the one that's provided for you. Go to James chapter 1 in the New Testament. James, if you go to the back of the New Testament, the book of Revelation, and you go backwards, you'll go past Jude, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, 1st, 2nd Peter, and you'll find yourself in the book of James. If you go to Hebrews, you went a little too far. So Revelation, Jude, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, 1st, 2nd Peter, James. Look at James chapter 1. When you get to James, put your bulletin or a ribbon or something in James, because we're going to leave James, and then we're going to come right back to it. James chapter 1, look at verse 17. James 1, 17 says this. James chapter 1 and verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variable, neither shadow of turning. You got to understand this. The job you have is because God gave it to you. Money you have is because God gave it to you. Everything you have is because God gave it to you, period. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. So you say, well, why was David so willing to give? Here's why he was so willing to give. He understood that all he was doing was returning to God what God had given to him. And he understood that if God gave it to me to begin with, God can give it to me again. And that made him willing. But secondly, here's another reason that David was willing. Go back to, keep your finger there in James, okay? And go back to 1 Chronicles 29. Look at verse number 15. Keep your finger in James, 1 Chronicles 29. Not only did David understand that everything he had came from God, David understood something else. Everything that he had was temporary. Everything that he had was temporary. 1 Chronicles 29, look at verse 15. The Bible says, for we are strangers. The word strangers in our King James Bible is our modern word, foreigners. He says, for we are strangers before thee and sojourners. That word sojourners means we are travelers. We are pilgrims, as were all our fathers. Notice what he says. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. You know what that word abiding means? When he says there is none abiding, here's what he's saying. No one is staying. Do you understand that no one is staying on this earth? Do you understand that your days on the earth are a shadow? You are a stranger. You are a foreigner. If you are saved, the Bible says we look for a city that's not built by hands. Do you understand that you are a pilgrim? You are a sojourner. I remember when I was a kid, we used to sing this song, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. See, the problem with a lot of you is you're just a little too at home in this world. You think that house you have, you're going to have it for eternity. That car you have, you're going to have it for eternity. And those clothes you have, do you understand that your life is just a shadow? No one abides here. Nothing you have stays here. You leave earth one day, and someone else will get it. Someone else will have it. It'll get repoed. It'll get, you know, inhabited by someone else. David understood something. He understood everything I have came from God, and everything that I have is temporary. So it's really not that big of a deal for me to willingly give to God. And the reason that you're so just, it's like the offering plate goes by and you're just like arguing back and forth. It's like, look, it's a dollar bill, okay? Just put it in. Good night. No, we'll give it back to you. The reason it's so hard. See, the problem, here's the thing with money. The reason people get upset, I can't believe you're talking about money. It really just reveals something about your heart. Because the Bible says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And see, David understood something. He understood everything I have came from God. And he said, my life is just a shadow. No one is abiding here. No one is staying here. I'm just a sojourner. I'm just a stranger. I'm just a pilgrim. This is all temporary. It doesn't really matter. He says, so it doesn't really matter if I have it or not. I can give it back to God. God can give it back to me if he wants to. Did you keep your place in James? Go back to James chapter 4. Look at verse 14. Very well-known verse. James chapter 4 and verse 14. James chapter 4 and verse 14 says this. James 4:14 says, whereas ye know not. James chapter 4 and verse 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. You see, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor. It's like a shadow that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Do you understand that you are not going to spend eternity on this earth in the state that you're in? Our lives are temporary. Everything you have is temporary. Everything you have is just here for a moment. No one abides here. And see, when someone understands all I have came from God and everything I have is temporary, then it's easy to give it back to God. And it's easy to have a willing heart to give to God because my affection is not set on the things of this earth. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians. Towards the beginning of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And when you get to 2 Corinthians, keep your place there. You can lose your place in James. Keep your place in 2 Corinthians, because we're going to go back to 1 Chronicles, and then we're going to come back to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and look at verse number 7. I just want to teach you about an offering. How do you bring an offering to God? God, giving should be done willingly and cheerfully. 2 Chronicles 9, 7 says this, every man according as he purposed in his heart. Now, I want you to notice this. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. What does that show? That shows a willing heart. They decided in their heart, I'm going to purpose to bring this offering to God. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Now notice, not grudgingly. The word grudgingly means reluctantly or unwillingly. He says, not grudgingly, and that's what I'm telling you. If you are, you say, I don't know if I want to give, and I don't know, if you're a little reluctant or you're unwilling, you have a bad attitude about it, listen to me. Please do us a favor. Do not give next week. Come next week, but don't put anything in the offering plate. Because the Bible says, according as he hath purpose in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly, or here's another reason you should not give, of necessity. If you're going to sit here and think, well, I'm Mr. Big Bucks, and the only reason they are going to buy those chairs is if I put my $20 in that offering plate. Look, do not give if you think we need you to give. Please understand something. We don't need nothing. We don't need you. We don't need me. Do you understand that if Pastor Jimenez is not the pastor of this church next week, this church can go on for the glory of God? We don't need you. Don't give of necessity. Don't think, well, I better give or else they're not going to be able to do it. Listen to me. We serve a powerful God. We serve a strong God. God doesn't need you. If you think, well, I don't want to give, but I better give, or they're not going to be able to. Look, if it's of necessity, don't give. We don't need it. For God loveth a cheerful giver. See, you got to give willingly. You got to give cheerfully. And if you have a bad attitude about it, if you're complaining about it, if you're going to put money in that offering plate next week and then go back and say, I just gave because that pastor made me feel so guilty, do us a favor and keep your money. Your money perish with you. I'm being honest with you. I'm not mad at you. I'm just telling you, we don't need it. In fact, I'd rather do it without you. I'd rather fail than have someone give to this church and say, well, I just felt like I was guilted into it. Because here's the thing. If you put money in the offering plate, but you do it reluctantly, there's no credit in heaven for it. God says, yeah, I know you gave, but whatever. Because when you bring an offering to God, you are to do it willingly. When you bring an offering to God, you are to do it cheerfully. When you bring an offering to God, you got to do it from your heart, realizing that everything I have came from God anyway, and nothing that I have is going to go with me to heaven. Everything is temporary, and I'm just giving this to God out of my heart. Say, well, Pastor, it doesn't sound. Every time I've heard people preaching on money, they try to like motivate us to give. It sounds like you're trying to talk us out of it. That's actually exactly what I'm trying to do. Because to be honest with you, if you're going to complain and be mad and bitter and angry and a murmurer, we don't want it. And by the way, let me just go ahead and say this. That goes for everything. Don't come to church on Wednesday night and then complain about coming to church on Wednesday night. Don't go out soul winning on Saturday morning and then complain about going soul winning on Saturday morning. Do you understand that God cares more about your heart than what you're actually doing? Say, well, I showed up to church because Pastor preaches against home, you know. Just stay home. Just waste your life away watching that stupid television. Just accomplish nothing for God. Because it's all about your heart. Yeah, well, if I don't go to church, Pastor doesn't care about you. That's not true. I care about you. Every man according to his purpose in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. Go back to 1 Chronicles 29. She said, well, how do we give to God next week, Pastor? Here's how you give. You give cheerfully. You give willingly. You give out of a heart that says everything I have came from God. But number two, you not only give cheerfully, number two, you ought to give sacrificially. You give cheerfully and you give sacrificially. 1 Chronicles 29, look at verse 2. 1 Chronicles 29, 2. Notice what David said. Now I have prepared with all my might. That word might means strength. He said, I have prepared with all my might, with all my strength for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, the wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistening stones and of diverse colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Verse 3, moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have, notice this, of mine own proper good. Here, David is saying, not my 10% that belongs to God anyway, but the stuff that actually is mine, of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. Here's what you got to understand. When you bring a gift to God, the giving should require might. It should require strength. It should require power. For some of you, you know, you exercise regularly, you lift weights or whatever. Here's what you know. When you exercise your strength, your muscles, doesn't it hurt a little bit? See, giving ought to hurt. If it doesn't hurt a little bit, then you're not sacrificing. If it doesn't hurt, you're not doing it right. Do you understand that? See, some of you God has blessed with a lot of money, and you're going to put a certain amount in the offering plate that you've already decided that this is what I'm going to give. And it may be a large amount, but here's what you know. It doesn't actually hurt you. Because what God has actually blessed you with is so much above what you're willing to give. See, when you give, David said, I prepared with all my might. He said, it took me strength to prepare these things. I had to, it was of my own proper good. It was over and above all that I have. Did you keep your place in 2 Corinthians? Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We were in chapter 9 just a second ago. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Look at verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 1. I don't preach a lot about money, so when I do, we got to make sure we cover a lot of bases, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Look at verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1, the Bible says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit. The word wit there is to become aware of. We do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Paul is saying to the church at Corinth, he's saying, I want you to become aware of the grace of God which was bestowed to the church of Macedonia. Well, what does he want them to know about the church of Macedonia? Look at verse 2. How that in great trial of affliction, these people were struggling. They were going through a great trial of affliction. The abundance of their joy. Isn't that interesting how that keeps coming up? They were cheerful. And their deep poverty. Let me talk to our Oh, I'm poor, that's why I can't give crowd. The Macedonians were poor. They were in deep poverty. See, here's what you got to understand about God. God does not expect equal giving, but he does expect equal sacrifice. You understand what I just said? God does not expect equal giving. You say, well, I don't make a lot of money. God does not expect you to give as much as someone who maybe makes a lot more money than you would give. But God expects you to sacrifice as much as someone who maybe makes a lot more money than you would sacrifice. Do you understand that? See, people say to me, I can't afford to tithe. I'm thinking to myself, if you can't afford to tithe, then no one can afford to tithe. Because here's the interesting thing about the tithe. It's a percentage. I don't know if you know that. So you say, well, I only made $100. How am I supposed to tithe? Well, here's the beautiful thing about only making $100. You only have to put $10 in the offering plate. Well, I made $1,000. Then you put $100. It's equal sacrifice, not equal giving. So, well, I'm poor. You can sacrifice. You can give. There's something you can give up. There's something you can do. Notice what he said. 2 Corinthians 8, 2. How that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. That's their willingness. Look at verse 3. For to their power, that's their might, that's their strength, that's their ability. Don't miss this. For to their power, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power. That's that over and above mentality, that over and above all. He says, to their power, he says, to their ability, to their strength, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing, notice how that word keeps coming up, of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. That's their offering. See, here's the thing. They were willing to give to their power and above their power. Here's what they're saying. They're going to give what they could, and they'll even give a little more than they really can. So that's going to hurt. But that's when you show God, God, I love you so much. And God, I trust you so much that I'm just going to go ahead and give anyway. Now, look, I'm not saying, you know, put the money that you need to pay your rent in the offering, okay? Obviously, there's wisdom and discernment. But you know what you're able to, and you know what you could give, but it's going to hurt me a little bit because I'm not going to be able to go to, you know, Starbucks 12 times next week. Because I'm not going to, and for some of you, because I'm not going to be able to go on that vacation next year. I could do it, but it's going to hurt a little bit. I would challenge you to come to the place as a Christian where you are of a willing heart, willing to give to your power and above your power, even if you're in poverty, because you want to show God how much you love him. See, when you give, you should do it cheerfully. But when you give, you should do it sacrificially. Go back to 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 3. I'm going to do something that I'm not uncomfortable doing. I've done it every year that we've ever done this offering, and I've never been comfortable. But let me explain. When I was training for the ministry, I was taught that leaders should lead by example. And I was told that a pastor should never ask his people to do something that he's not willing to do himself. And when we give, the Bible teaches that we ought to do it secretly. Your left hand should not know what your right hand is doing. And for all of you, I would say that that's true. And we don't need to go around telling people how much we're going to give. But as a pastor, I've practiced telling the church what my wife and I have prayed about and purposed in our hearts to give. Not because I'm trying to show off to you, because the amount may be so small that you may think it's ridiculous. I don't know. But I just want you to understand that I'm not asking you to do something that our family's not willing to do. This year, my wife and I have spent the last few weeks thinking and praying and talking about it, and we have determined that in the position that our church, that our family is, that we are committing this year to give $1,000 above our tithe for this vision offering. Now, listen to me. Some of you may think that's not a lot of money. For some of you, that may be a lot of money. I don't know. I'll tell you this, a lot of money for me. I don't have $1,000 sitting around just burning a hole in my pocket. But I just want you to understand that we're not asking you to do something that we're not willing to do. And we're not asking you to sacrifice and hurt yourself a little bit, and we're not willing to do that. We're taking of our own money and giving towards this offering, and we want you to understand, we are investing into this ministry with you. We're not up here motivating you to give and give and give and sacrifice, and not willing to take that sacrifice. And the only thing I'm trying to help you with is help you understand, number one, we're doing this with you. We want to set the example. And some of you, you could not give $1,000 if your life depended on it. That's okay. Some of you could give well above that and you wouldn't even notice it. All I'm saying is this, you've got to come to the place in your heart and in your mind where you realize, I love God, and everything I have came from God anyway, and I'm not going to take it with me anyway, and investing in eternity is better than investing in the stock market any day of the week. And I just want to challenge you to come to the place where you are giving. You say, well, how do you sacrifice? Are you there in 1 Chronicles 29? Look at verse 3. 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 3, the Bible says this. 1 Chronicles 29:3 says, moreover, because, this is what David said, I have set my affection, that word affection means love, to the house of my God. You know why it's easy to just give something that we really aren't in a position to just give away, but it's easy and we're able to do it willingly and cheerfully. Here's why. Because I love the house of God. Amen. And I want, you know, you say, well, I don't love the house of God. I don't love God. I don't really know why I'm even here. You know, that's okay. Come back next week. We'll love you. If you don't put anything in the offering plate, no one's going to know and or care. It's fine. But let me talk to those of you who love Verity Baptist Church. Let me talk to those of you who have had this ministry be a positive impact on your life. For those of you that this church has helped you and been with you and ministered to you. If you say, I love this church, I love the house of God, I want to just challenge you to sacrifice and give to help us do for others what we've done for you. Because David said, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, he said, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of the Lord, over and above all that I prepare for the holy house. He says, because I love the house of God, I can give of my own and I don't care. In fact, I'm happy to do it because I believe in what the house of God, the church of God, is doing. So number one, how do you give a proper gift next week? Number one, you should be giving cheerfully, and number two, you should be giving sacrificially. If you're not giving cheerfully, do me a favor, please don't give. And if you're not giving sacrificially, you're not going to get credit for it in heaven anyway. If it's easy, you ought to, and I want to challenge you this week to spend the next, you see, here's the thing. We announce vision offering, and I know because we've done this for 4 years now, I know how it works. Some of you just, the moment the words came out of my mouth, you already decided in your head, I'm going to give this much. You spend no time thinking about it, no time praying about it, no time seeking your heart about it, no time even looking at your finances to see if you could even do more. You just decided, this is how much I'm going to give. And here's all I'm asking. For those of you that have already made that decision, would you spend the next week seeking God's will and saying, God, what could I give willingly and cheerfully that would hurt a little bit, but would show my love for the house of God and for the things of God? Don't just decide, I'm just going to give this because it's easy. Why don't you decide, I'm going to give something and I'm going to do something that's going to impact eternity? Let me show you three things as we close this morning. You say, well, why should we give in preparation for the future? Why should we give? Number one, you should give for God. 1 Chronicles 29, look at verse 1. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. Please notice this. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. See, any chairs that we buy here, any buildings that we may purchase in the future, any property that we may have, it's not to help man. It's not to magnify man. It's not to make anyone rich. It's not for man, but for the Lord God. So we ought to give for God. But number two, look at verse 18, just in conclusion. Why should we give in preparation for the future? Not only because of God, but we should give because of those who came before us. Notice what David says, 1 Chronicles 29, 18. He says, O Lord God, and notice what he says. This is David, and he goes back to the book of Genesis. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers. He says, he goes back and he says, God, this movement, this thing, this building, this temple, it's not just about me, David. It's not just about my people here. This goes back all the way to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob and to Moses and to Joshua and to the judges and to all these different people that have came before us. And let me tell you something. At Verity Baptist Church, we have this great heritage of being fundamental Baptist, Bible-believing preachers. I don't know if you understand this. I don't know if some of you even care, but there are not many churches that are doing what this church is doing. Amen. There are not many churches that preach the Bible the way that this church preaches the Bible and reaching people the way that this church reaches people. I know most churches are just a rock concert. There's just a social club. You just go there and have somebody tickle your ear and make you feel good. You feel like you're in a club. The room is dark and everybody's partying. But let me tell you something. We have a great heritage of men and women that have stirred on the word of God and preached the word and preach the gospel. And if you say, well, why should we give for the future? We should do it for those who came before us. Amen. For those that have handed down a heritage of Christianity and righteous living and the word of God. See, I don't want this thing to end with us. I don't want this 20 years from now, 50 years from now, 150 years from now to be a distant memory. People died and sacrificed and gave so that we could have the heritage we have today. So we should prepare. You say, why? For God, yes, but for those who came before us. For the Abrahams and the Isaacs and the Jacobs of our lives. You say we should give for God, yes. We should give for those that came before us, yes. But lastly, we should give for those who will come after us. Look at verse 19, 1 Chronicles 29, 19. David says, and give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart, to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for which I have made provision. That word provision means provided supplies for. See, here's the thing. We want to be able to look at young men and young women. We want to look at these children and these teenagers one day and prepare them for the ministry and send them off to start churches just like this one, to keep the old-time religion alive, to keep Bible preaching alive, to keep, you know, spirituality alive. But here's the thing. We don't want to look at those individuals and say, we've prepared nothing, we've done nothing, but we expect you to carry the torch. You understand that? See, one day, another man will pastor Verity Baptist Church. And when that man takes over, we want to be able to say, we have prepared and we have sacrificed so that you can carry the torch into the next generation. Say, why would I give for those that came before us, and for those who will come after us? And for those who still need to hear the gospel in this community, for those that still need to be reached, for those that still need someone to knock on their door, for someone to pray for someone to love, for someone to come up beside them and partner up with them and say, let me show you how the Bible says you can do life and you can be saved. That's who we need to do it for. Not because we want a fancy building. Not because we want nice chairs. But because there are people who came before us. And a God who stands before us. And there are people who still need to be reached and still need the gospel and still need this type of preaching. So I would like you, for the next several days, to pray and ask God, how can I sacrifice? How can I give? How can I partner up to give sacrificially and cheerfully, realizing that everything I have came from you and nothing I have goes with me anyway? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father,